About Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, and today let's talk about Inyanim of Yom Kippur, and that starts with Siman Tav Reish Dalet. Tav Reish Dalet, we're just going to go through again, I'll say to our Shulchan Aruch, Tav Reish Dalet, which starts Erev Yom HaKippurim. Really it's Tav Reish Gimel. Tav Reish Beis, go back. Tav Reish Beis, because we did up to this last time, and that is Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Aseres Yemei Teshuva is the beginning, is the where we left off. We left off with Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Teshuva. There's not much in the Shulchan Aruch on Aseres Yemei Teshuva. We know, well, we the Rama quotes, we fast on the day after Rosh Hashanah, Tzom Gedalia, nothing to do with, I say nothing. On the surface, it has nothing to do with the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. It's one of those four fast days for the Churban, but it obviously always falls out during Aseres Yemei Teshuva. So maybe there's some connection to Teshuva, but that's not for now. But we add in the extra Tfilos, as we said, during Aseres Yemei Teshuva, Avinu Malkeinu, and others. The Rama talks about waiting to do Kiddush Levana until Motzoi Yom Kippur, even though it's something that we usually do earlier as Reza Magdimen, but we usually, the minhag of most, if somebody's a real grub man, then they might do it beforehand, but the Rama quotes that, you know, we wait to do it to Motzoi Yom Kippur, if it's possible to get food to break your fast beforehand, if the shuls give out, so that's better. If you're going to lose the chance to do Kiddush Levana, everybody's just going to eat and go home and not do it, so then, you know, one can do it. The minhag of most shuls is just to do Kiddush Levana right after davening and then go home and break the fast. But again, we wait till after Yom Kippur to be able to start with a mitzvah right after Yom Kippur. Tav Reish Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch quotes for Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Even if one does not is not careful with Pas Yisrael the whole year, but during Aseres Yemei Teshuva one should be zahir. Right? I think we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago and on in a Tuesday night here in Sichas Chaim, that we know Bishalakim is a halacha. There's no flexibility. Right? You can't have cooked foods by a non-Jew unless, you know, you do it in the way that the halacha says is okay. Chalav Yisrael is a halacha. Right, where Moshe Feinstein's heter of Chalav Akum, because it's considered Chalav Yisrael, right? The Yayin, all those halachas. The only one that's not a halacha, but a chumrah, is pas, baked goods. As long as you know everything is kosher, all the ingredients, so a baked ayna by a non-Jew is the same Mishnah and Gemara and Masechet Avodah Zarah, but for some reason, it became a chumrah, not a halacha. Why? The Rishonim had different suggestions. Maybe it was too hard and never caught on. And part of a din d'rabbanan is that it has to be nispashid b'chol Yisrael. It has to be accepted. And it was too hard. Bread was a staple and you couldn't do it. So either way, it's a chumrah. But the Shulchan Aruch says, during Aseres Yemei Teshuva, one should try to be zahir. Again, in Eretz Yisrael, it's very hard to find pasakum. You know, it's you got to work really hard to go to those American stores in Beit Shemesh that import all of those Pas Akum, you know, baked goods to try to get Pas Akum. But in general, almost everything is Pas Yisrael. But we should be zohar in that. Why for 1 week isn't that hypocritical? We're going to do it for a week and not do it for the rest of the time? Okay, that's a good hashkafic question. But that is what the Shulchan Aruch quotes and the Rama quotes. Tshuva, even on Tzafik Averis, right, it's days that we should try. There's a week besides the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The Bali Musar talk about that the rest of Aseres Yemei Teshuva is a week. Right, this year Rosh Hashanah is Monday, Tuesday. So Wednesday is the first day after Rosh Hashanah, so to speak, and then Tuesday is the last, because Wednesday is Yom Kippur. So Wednesday we should do tshuva for all the Wednesdays of the year, and Thursday we should do tshuva for all the Thursdays of the year. Like, there's in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, there are seven days, so we can think about tshuva. But again, that's the key is to try to be focused on doing what we can. Okay, Erev Yom Kippur. We get to that Tuesday in a couple of weeks. Erev Yom Kippur, the ninth day of Tishrei, says the Shulchan Aruch, mitzvah le'echol be'erev Yom Kippurim. The only weekday of the year that there is a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat is Erev Yom Kippur. The only way. V'harbos besudah, mimar be'besudah. That's a huge discussion in the Achronim and the Chakira. What is the eating on Erev Yom Kippur about? Is it about Hachana? Rashi and the Rush use a lashon of Hachana. Why do we eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Because it's Chasdei Hashem. Hashem knows that we're going to eat anyway in Erev Yom Kippur. It's the only day of the year that we have to fast according to the Torah. So Hashem says, you're going to eat anyway. I want to give you extra schuyos. I'm going to get a mitzvah to eat. And that's why Hashem gives us a mitzvah to eat, because he wants us to pile up mitzvahs beforehand. But it's all about hachan. It's all preparing for the day. There is a line in the Shari Tshuva in Rabbeinu Yonah that sounds like it's the Sudas Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a yantif. Yom Kippur breaks avelos. And the problem is you can't eat on Yom Kippur. But part of Yom Kippur is the yantif. So where's the yantif element? So we bump it up beforehand. And that's what we have before Yom Kippur. We have a Suda. It's like the Suda is Yom Kippur. And lest you think, what do you mean? It's not Yom Kippur yet. You can't blow shofar before Rosh Hashanah. So what's the point of eating? But Erev Yom Kippur has a little echo already of Yom Kippur, right? With the vidui, we do vidui in Erev Yom Kippur, right? Even though the mitzvah is Yom Kippur, because the Erev Yom Kippur already has some elements of Yom Kippur, and therefore maybe you could stretch the Suda. Either way, those are the two ideas behind the Suda, eating on Erev Yom Kippur. Many nafkaminas, are women obligated? Do you have to eat bread? Or you could eat anything. What about the night before? Machlokas Mogen Avraham in the Gra. Does it start the night before Yom Kippur or only the morning of Yom Kippur? So all of these are part of the Leibedik Sugya of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. But again, you know, it's not, we could be makpid. I'll be machmer and eat a little bit extra on the night before Yom Kippur. It's also okay. Right? The Gedolei Yisrael, they used to walk around with sucking candies in their mouths all day in Erev Yom Kippur to try to be mamshich lemitzvah. Okay, either way, it's a day of eating. A day of eating of on Erev Yom Kippur. It says the Shulchan Aruch, Noflan al Panei on Erev Yom Kippur, and we don't say Tachnun. It's a semi-yantif. We don't say Lam Natzeach. We don't say Mizbeh L'Soda. On Erev Yom Kippur. That's really the shortest Shacharis of the year that it could work out is this year. Because not only do you skip Lam Natzeach and Mizbeh L'Soda and Tachnun, but it's a Tuesday. So it's the shortest Yom. So it's really the shortest Shacharis that you could ever have this year, Tuesday, on Erev Yom Kippur. Right? And no Avinu Malkeinu, because it's Erev Yom, right? It's Erev Yom Kippur. You only say Avinu Malkeinu on Erev Yom Kippur if Yom Kippur is Shabbos. Right? Then you say Avinu Malkeinu. Okay. And there's different minhagim about, right, the minhag of most Ashkenazim is to have very short slichas on Erev Yom Kippur. The minhag of Yekis is to have long slichas on Erev Yom Kippur. So Akol Lafia Minhag, says the Rama. There is another minhag that we do on Erev Yom Kippur, and that is kaparis. The Shulchan Aruch is very strongly against kaparis. The Shulchan Aruch says it's darkei ha'amori, and it's terrible, and what is it? The minhag of Klal Yisrael is to follow the Rama, and that is to do kaparis. Kaparis can be done with a chicken. I have never done it with a chicken, and I don't think I will ever do it with a chicken. I have been offered, and I pass. I do it with money. And that's good enough for me. But if somebody wants to, different minhagim, whatever one is, what is into. But again, what is it? It's a minhag to remind us that, you know, in the days of old, there was something called karbanos. It's not like we don't have to do tshuva. We give the money to sukkah, and then all of a sudden we're good. You know, tshuva and vidui and all that obviously is required. But the message is to, like in the days of old, the karbanos was ki'ilu, my blood is shechta, ki'ilu this, ki'ilu that, to try to do a mitzvah to be mezakeh us and to remind us that the what the day is about. The Mishnah Berurah and the Poskim all talk about it. If it's a situation where the shechita is not going to be done properly and there's too much, you know, other halachas, tzar bale chayim involvements, then one should stay away. But if one is in a proper place and one can, you know, wants to follow that path and do it with a chicken, that's fine, as long as it's done properly. Yeah.
Does he have that notion about Avodah Zarah and Akamari here, or where does he have that?
You look in the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat and Aleph. Aleph, Mishum, Darkei Ha'emori. Darkei Ha'emori from the Beis Yosef. Again, that's the, again, that's in this, you know, it's prevalent custom that is all done. That's tough. She had another minhag of Erev Yom Kippur. Another minhag of Erev Yom Kippur, which is not really a minhag, but it's halacha, and that is asking mechila. The poskim wonder, Reb Nevenzal wonders in his Mishnah Berurah, you know, why we do this Erev Yom Kippur and not Erev Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is Yom Adin. It's a process. Why we wait? But that's the minhag. Maybe the minhag is made because Rosh Hashanah is more focused on God. It's all about Malchus. Right? As we spoke about a few weeks ago, it's a different kind of tshuva. While Yom Kippur is al chait. So therefore, one should, mechila. Is there any value to sending out a mass, are you mochel me, on all my WhatsApp contacts? Probably the ones that you really did something to, and really this probably does not work. It creates a vibe. everybody's being mochel each other, and so there is something to it. I wouldn't hang my hat on being Yotzei Tshuva Gemura with that. But again, it's something. If something does that, it's again, I'm not saying you should do it. But again, is there anything about it? It creates there's a certain environment of mechila that's being done. But again, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says in Taf Reish Vav. There's been other machavero. Yom Kippur is not machaper until we're mafayis. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes in his one of the collections of that was put together after he died. He says, I don't know why I get so many shilas about sukkahs. I get so many shilas about fasting. I get so few shilas about tshuva. Do I have to do sorry and the this and the, I get so few shilas about tshuva, says Rav. And what's this whole season about? He says, they're all asking me about the eating and the mali lugmav and are these shoes leather? And he says, ask me some shilas about tshuva. He bemoaned the fact that there was so few shilas. Oh, because we don't need tshuva. We're all, we know all the answers. But, it's something to think about. So the Shulchan Aruch says we should try to do it. And the Mishnah Berurah also quotes in the Sif Katan Aleph that if there's any financial question, we should make sure that we ask somebody else, not be our own judge. Because when it's financial, our pocket, it's hard to be objective. So it's always good to ask questions, even to non-financial. Even non-financial about mechila or not. There is it's known as a machlokes between the Mishnah Berurah and the Rav Yisrael Salanter. Some achronim say after that, what's the machlokes? What happens if you wrong somebody, but nothing came of it, and it's forgotten, and he never even found out about it? And if you go and apologize and explicate it, that's going to ruin your relationship. Do you have to ask mechila? You have to ask mechila. So they quote it as a machlokes. The later Rav Asher Weiss spoke about this, and others say, Rav Shelter, that the whole point of tshuva is to get the relationship back. It'd be hard to understand why you have to go exactly and say, let me just tell you exactly what I did, but I'm sorry about it. No, the whole point is about the relationship. So you could say, the more general, if I ever did anything, you mochel me, and something like that. But it's hard to think that you would have to explicate it in order to be mefarid. And the poskim say that, but one should be careful, because usually the people who are closest to us and probably deserve the most bakashas mechila are the ones that we don't. Like all our long-lost friends that we see once a year, we'll send them a yimochel me. But our family and our siblings and our teachers are the ones that are really we should probably talk to. Those are usually just passed over. So we should think about it. Yeah.
But if they know about it, you should be more specific than the.
I don't know how specific you have to be. One should ask forgiveness. If they know about it, they know why you're asking forgiveness for. And if they don't know about it, then it's probably better not to say. Okay. Somebody once asked if Rav Nevetzel also writes about this in his Mishnah Berurah. What if you're really not mochel them? Could you say I'm mochel you? Sometimes it's hard. Somebody was really wrong. He says, yeah. He says, what if you're not sorry about what you did? It's probably even worse. Could you ask mechila even though? So again, it's achrei pulos mshachos alavavos. So, we should try to overcome ourselves and be able to do mechila. Okay, but we should try to do what we can. So the Shulchan Aruch talks about a couple of minhagim. The Shulchan Aruch Sif Dalet quotes a minhag that I remember. I grew up in Far Rockaway in the Shivel, Rabbi Rubin. And I remember on Erev Yom Kippur, the Rebbe, the Solitzer Rebbe, Zichrono Levracha, he used to bend down, and the Gaba used to take a belt and do Malka softly. I remember me like such like I was like a little kid, like the Rebbe is on the floor, bent down, he's getting Malkus. But it's in the Shulchan Aruch, right? Shulchan Aruch talks about it. This minhag. Again, nobody does it. Now this Yochol Litpo Vililkos Masai Sheyirtze Rak Sheyakodem Alayla Beinam Bavar. So there is this minug. If you have ever seen it, it's in the Shulchan Aruch. But tevila, going to the mikvah, is a minug. We don't make a bracha on the tevila. Why does the Shulchan Aruch have to say that? Because there is a Rav Sadia Gaon quoted in the Rosh and Yuma that made a bracha on the tevila on Erev Yom Kippur. That's a big shaila. How do you make a bracha for a man to go to the mikvah nowadays? It's just a minug. So where does the bracha come from? So different suggestions, but generally, just lamaisa, we don't make a bracha. It's generally for tshuva. Generally for tshuva. We don't have to be makbit for all the halachas of tevila that we would have to be in the bizman hamikdash. But that's some of the minhagim. One other din of Erev Yom Kippur, and that's Tafrei Zayin, and that is based on the Gemara. The Gemara already says we have to do the mitzvah vidui already starts before Yom Kippur by the Sudam Efsekes. Why? Because the Satan is trying to get in his last licks. So, you know, we want to say vidui before we eat the Sudam Efsekes because he's going to try to make us choke, Rechmana Litzlan. So that's why we do it before we have a mincha gedola, and we say the alchetz before the Sudam Efsekes. We try to get a vidui in right before Yom Kippur also, and that's tefillah zaka, a beautiful tefillah that you try to say, before Yom Kippur when you get back to shul. And again, that's the you can say it in English too. You know, the art, it's all about 6 pages long. The art scroll has a beautiful translation of it. One could say that in English. This part of it is supposed to be at the end that the Chofetz Chaim put earlier because it's all about being mochel everybody else. And he says, nobody ever finishes Tefillah Zaka. So I want to make sure that this part is in the... You'll see it says, the Chofetz Chaim said to put this in the beginning of the Tefillah Zaka, so at least everybody gets to it. It's about everybody being mochel everybody else. That's a pretty important element. So that's why he put it earlier. But that's Tefillah Zaka. If you try to say it, you could also say it sometimes, even when, after they start Kol Nidre. You know, they might have a sicha before, and I don't know, I'm saying, but you could continue saying it. You know, it's not, it's a Kabbalah of the Inuyim. Okay, so that's Vidui. We say it before. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Vidui lecharchila is supposed to be said, Sarach lezvadas me'umad, right, standing. Right, that's throughout. All the vidui that we say on Yom Kippur, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to say vidui, mitzvah of tshuva, so we should say standing. Sometimes you're like leaning with the sitter. So how do you define standing? So standing is defined as if you take away what you're leaning on, would you fall down? So even if you're leaning a little bit, as long as you wouldn't fall down without it, it's okay. If somebody can, somebody's tired, somebody's back is killing them after like bending down. So again, you can. It's not ma'akev. Amidah's not ma'akev, but that is, we try. There's a beautiful Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says, in the minhag in most places, is right before our Shamnuz, we say a little like a diddly. Shamnu. They do it unusual?
Yes.
Right? What? We like sing a little bit, and then we say, oh, we're terrible. We messed up. We gave bad advice. Like, what are we singing for? Says the Chassam Sofer, because when a Jew does a mitzvah, he sings. When a Jew does a mitzvah, he sings. Okay, it's a mitzvah that we'd rather not have to do. Maybe it's, we only sing, Rav Soloveitchik, I'm putting together a Rav Soloveitchik with the Chassam Sofer, we only sing by the Chazaras HaShatz when we're doing tshuva as a tzibur. We don't sing when we're saying it balachash, then we're crying. When we're doing tshuva as a tzibur, then we could sing, because we're on the team. But, when we do in Tuba B'yachid, maybe that's a difference between the two. Anyway, we should try to be standing. There is a machlokas between the Mishnah Berurah and the Gra. The Mishnah Berurah quotes whether you're supposed to say Yil Ratzon before you start the whole extra Al-Chait section. So Mishnah Berurah says, yes, the minhag in most places is to say Yil Ratzon. But the Gra says, no, you want it as part of the Shmona Esrei. So you want it as part of the Tefillah. So you shouldn't. But again, our minhag is to say, the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkat and Tazayin, Osana Omrim Tamid Yilaratzam Yadachar Tvila Kondachrunim Hua Din Kan, Yomer Yilaratzam Kodem Shemaschel, Elokin Alkevasenu Tavilofanecha Tvila Sena. We just say it beforehand. Says the Ramah, a very important Ramah, the last line in Tafrei Zayin, Yom Kippur Mina Machafer El Al Ashavim Hamaminim Bekaparaso. Yom Kippur works for those who believe in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur works for those who believe in Yom Kippur. If you believe in the kapara, then you get it. Avo hamavaybo, umachashi belibo, mamol Yom Kippur. What? I'm fasting the whole day and I'm so uncomfortable. Ainu machapelo. Doesn't work. So we should make sure to you know, get ourselves ready and psyched up. And again, I don't know if I'm going to mention it later, but again, if one can, it'll make a huge difference in your tefillah if you take out a machzor before Yom Kippur and just review. Just go through the davening before Yom Kippur, so there's no surprises. We know what to expect, and we know, where things are going, and when's the Aleinu, when's the Avoda, right? And the whole structure. The more familiar we are with the structure, the more we're on top of it. We don't feel like we're drowning in just like davening, right? You go from here to here to here to here to here, and if we could do that beforehand, so that will help make a big difference. Suda Mafsekes, Tafrei Shches. Again, this is part of the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. Men, women, we have to make sure that we finish before, because there's a concept of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, right? The source for Tosefes Shabbos and Yontif. It might even start, the source of it is Tosefes Yom Kippur, because the Torah says you have to fast on the 9th of Tishrei. To fast on the 9th, you fast on the 10th. You don't fast on the 9th. So Gemara says you have to start fasting on the 9th. The source, Tosefes Yom Kippur. So that's why we stopped eating. We don't go to the edge. We stop eating beforehand. There's Tosefes Yom Kippur for eating, and maybe for Malacha, and maybe for the other Inuyim, as is discussed by the Poskim. But again, that's we should try to eat. You can eat as whatever you want. There's no the Poskim discuss. Is there anything wrong with taking certain types of pills to help you fast? So the most assume that, especially by Yom Kippur, there's no problem. The point of Yom Kippur is not just to feel like, by other fast days, which are about avelus, it's about feeling uncomfortable. Yom Kippur is about being like Malachim. That's really, it's not a sad day. Yom Kippur is a happy day. Yom Kippur is a simcha-filled day. It's a serious day, but it's not a sad day. And therefore, the point isn't just to feel bad. The point is to be like Malachim. And therefore, the poskim discuss the Chelkas Yaakov, or Rabbi Breish, Tzitz Eliezer talk about that it's, it's not... it's not terrible to be able to take pills to fast better. Other poskim say maybe it's not the best thing to do, but again, they make it, then it's okay. Okay, so we've reached Yom Kippur, almost. Halakas Neiris, Tafresh Yud, Halakas Neiris. Right, this is one of the seven brachos that you only say once a year. Seven brachos in Eretz Yisrael, four brachos in Chutz Laaretz. Four brachos you only say once a year. One of them is right here, Lahalak Neiris Shel Yom Kippurim. That is the minhag. If a woman says, the minhag of women is to say Shechianu there by the Hadlaka. I remember years ago when I researching this, it's one of those, Shechianu is not mentioned by Hadlakas Neiris in the Shulchan Aruch. It's amazing. Everybody does it. All the women do it. But that's the there's a Achronim talk about it. But that's when it's done. Why do we have like candles on Erev Yom Kippur? So that's the different reasons given. But Leminag is that we light and we make a bracha. The Rama quotes Lubash Begadim Levanim Nikiim. The minhag is wear white clothing. Right? White. Wear kittel. Mary wear kittel. Women, many women wear white as well. White symbolizes purity. Malachi Asharis, they don't wear clothing. So I don't know how white means Malachim, but that's what Mefarshim explain, how white wears Malachim, and also it's Beged Mesim, so it lowers our heart and makes us humbled in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tafresh Yud Aleph, so now we start the Inuyim. Yeah.
Is that include white pants or just a white shirt?
I don't know about white pants. I don't know. You can wear whatever. I'm sure there are people, that will wear all white. And Sfat, I'm sure there are many people that were wearing all white. But again, at least, you can wear a suit. Wear a suit is fine. Tafresh Yud Aleph, the night of Yom Kippur is the same as the day of Yom Kippur. All right, even though most other fast days of the year only start in the morning, obviously Yom Kippur is 25 hours, and we have the five Inuyim, the five abstentions, what we abstain from, eating, drinking, besides Malacha. Isser Malacha is a separate Isser. It's like Shabbos. But we have eating, drinking, washing, anointing, shoes, leather shoes, and husband and wife being together. There's only kares on malacha. There are only kares on malacha and eating and drinking. The other ones are machlokas rishonim. The Rambam assumes that all five are daraisa, but only eating and drinking has kares. Rabbeinu Tam, Baal Tosfos, and the Rosh assume the other four are derabanan. Or nafkaminas in terms of suffix, in terms of chola, but that's a machlokas rishonim. about the other ones. But for sure there's no kares by the others. Eating and drinking. So let's talk about each one of these as the Shulchan Aruch goes through. Tavrei Shid Beis, eating. So eating and drinking, so we're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, not allowed to drink on Yom Kippur. If one needs to, if one is a cholash yesh bo sakana, or a potential cholash yesh bo sakana, so then they are allowed to as much as they need. We try on Yom Kippur, there's a concept called shiurin. Shiurin. Why is there a concept called shiurin? Because in Yom Kippur, the Torah does not say you are not allowed to eat. The Torah does not say you're not allowed to eat. The Torah says there's a mitzvah sasei of inui. There's a mitzvah sasei to afflict yourself. So what does that mean? So Chazal, the Torah Shabbat Pet, tell us, even if I eat a kezias, a food, I'm still in a state of affliction. So even though all other isurim of the whole year, the isur of eating is always a kezias, the size of an olive, however big an olive is, but on Yom Kippur, it's a koseves. It's a date, it's a bigger shear. And therefore, the isurim of Yom Kippur are different. There's a whole lumdish question, the relationship between the isur of eating on Yom Kippur and the isur of eating all the rest of the types of isurim, not for now. But that's what is the state of inui. So what is shiurin? Shiurin means as long as I eat less than the size of a date in the amount of time that's called one eating, which is anywhere between 3 and 9 minutes, depending who you hold of, right? 3 and 9 minutes, right? That's how much time you have to eat matzah on Pesach, and that's as much time for these isurim. So as long as I break it up, so then that's not called, so to speak, breaking my fast for Yom Kippur purposes. Chatzi shir is asur midaraisa. So even less than the shir is asur. But if one needs to, it's better to do a chatzi shir than to do a whole shir. And that's why we generally say to eat b'shirin if that's possible. What is shirin? Is basically a shot glass of food or drink every 10 minutes. Food and drink do not combine. A person could do both. They do not combine. A person's still called in a state of affliction if they're doing that. So if somebody is sick, if somebody is a woman is a terrible faster and she's nursing and whatever it is, if the heter is given, the first stage is, okay, shiurin. Shiurin, which means a shot glass of food, a shot glass of drink every 10 minutes. What do you drink? It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be water. No difference between water and Powerade and orange juice. But that's in terms of the eating. There's a big shayla in the postgame. Is it better? What if somebody knows that I could go like till chatzos, but then if I go till chatzos without eating anything, I'm going to have to eat regular. Is it better to start already eating with shiurin from beforehand, and then I'll be able to always eat b'shiurin? So that's a discussion in the postgame. What is better to do? Again, once if that comes up, one should ask. In terms of chola. Chola, obviously, chol sheish basakana. If somebody takes pills with a, if somebody could take pills without swallowing pills without a water, which that's 100, that's fine. Question is, it's a little dangerous. The doctors say to try to swallow a pill without water, it can get stuck. So most of them say, if you take a little bit of water, especially put a little salt in the water, then one could take the pill with a little bit of water if somebody needs. Somebody needs. Pills to be able to concentrate, ADHD medicine or Ritalin, or it's all mutter. It's all mutter. You can take that. It's not called eating. It's not called eating. On Yom Kippur, somebody needs a sleeping pill to be able to sleep at night. Somebody needs a melatonin. All of these helping a basic function. I remember I heard a Rosh Hashanah say this, but it's written in the poskim that you could take swallow pills, not chewables, but swallow pills in those cases. Again, without water, it's no question at all. But if it's a little water, you have to make it bitter a little bit, and that way it would be mutter also. So that's in terms of eating. We try to eat the shiurin, the chulu. Food is not muksa on Yom Kippur. The Rama says mutter liga be Yom Kippur ba'ochlin umashkin v'litim l'ktanim. Right, children could eat on Yom Kippur. It's not muksa on Yom Kippur. That's in terms of eating. Next, Tavrei Shid Gimel about washing. Right, the issur of washing on Yom Kippur is only rechitza shel tainug, only enjoyable rechitza. And therefore, if somebody went to the bathroom and they need to wash their hands, so then they can wash. And if they got all their hands dirty, even though we only wash, if we need to the knuckles where the fingers connect to the hand, but if somebody went to the bathroom, if somebody falls down in the mud, finally needs to wash their hands for whatever reason, so then they wash their hands. They can wash all their hands, as long as it's not l'shem tainah, because it's for cleaning. Kohanim, who are going to duchen on Yom Kippur, are going to wash their hands normally, right? Because that's not a rechitza of pleasure, that's a rechitza of mitzvah. And therefore, one could. The Rambam says you wash your hands regular before davening, because he's very strong about the washing one's hands for davening. Again, most people don't wash their hands for davening, so you can't like use the heter of Yom Kippur of that. What about in the morning? In the morning, Negavasser. So we wash till the knuckles. That will get off three times each on the Ruach Ra. The poskim say that, you know, if there's a little moisture left on your fingers, after you dry them, you could use that to get the gook out of your eyes and just to put it around the eyes a little bit. Again, you can't wash your face in the normal way like we do in the morning. Every day, but if there's, you could use a little bit of the moisture that's still left on the hands to wipe on your eyes in the morning. What, you had a question?
Yeah, why is it the Kohen can wash their whole hands, and that's a mitzvah, but...
That's a washing l'shem mitzvah.
Yeah, but not by Tehillas Yadayim in the morning.
Because Tehillas Yadayim, it's a mitzvah, but it's enough. That's more to... Well, there are three reasons we wash our hands in the morning. But the one that we really have to is because the Ruach Ra is the one that... that's what we do three times.
Yeah,
so we say that's enough. That's enough to do up until the knuckles.
The bracha that we make...
I'm saying, and the bracha that we... And the bracha, that's enough considered washing hands. That's going to consider washing hands, yeah.
What's the policy on touching covered parts of the body?
What's the one in the policy? If you touch covered parts... If you don't wash your hands normally after you touch covered parts of the body, you use the old wood, rub on wood, then so you don't Yom Kippur too. If Yom Kippur, you shouldn't wash your hands. You shouldn't be extra makpid about washing hands on Yom Kippur. If I'm not makpid about that, the whole year. If you're makpid the whole year, then I guess it's that's not shel tainug. That's not shel tainug. Okay, so that's in terms of washing. I'm just trying to go through the lamaisa cases. Tavrei Yudalit sicha and ilas asandal sicha anointing. So sicha anointing is usur even if it's not for tainug, and therefore no deodorant on Yom Kippur. Because that's considered anointing l'shem tainug, and therefore also asuch afilo mixas gufa afilo eno elo lahaber azuma, even if it's just to remove the sweat, says the Shulchan Aruch and Tafri Yudalid. Again, if somebody is an istinus and they just feel ill, then if somebody would be in a state of chola, then you have to ask a shaila. But most people, they would love to have the odorant, but if you don't have it for a day, you know, it's okay. That's in terms of sicha nilas asandol. Again, even though we have very comfortable non-leather shoes, even though there's a balamor against, but we generally assume that as long as they're not leather, it's fine. It's fine, even though people wear Crocs all the time. But there's no problem with wearing Crocs on Yom Kippur. It doesn't have leather, and it's mutter to wear. You don't have to make it uncomfortable putting rocks in your shoes to have that feeling. Yeah?
If
Marisayan? Could be Marisayan. Wear sneakers. Wear sneakers if... okay, so that's in terms of Sicha and Ilas HaSandol. Okay, nobody's married here, so I'm talking about those halachas right now. Tafresh Tezayin, children, Tafresh Yudzayin, pregnancy and nursing. Well, these halachas are not for now. Tafresh Yutes. So we get to the Tila. So we say Kol Nidre. We should say it along again with the in the undertone with the Shliach Tzibur, and a lot of messages about Kol Nidre. Then we say Shechianu. We say Shechianu in Shul. The only time we say Shechianu, not ala kos, you know, on a yontif, but that's what we pasken. The Gemara in Erevin says that we say Shechianu afilu bashuk. The Shulchan Aruch, we say Baruch Shein Kavo Malchuso out loud, but kol ram. And the other, we should follow the minhagim of the shul, whatever the shul does in terms of that. One should have a sefer. Again, hopefully better show everybody will. One should have a sefer along with them, because there's going to be a lot of time where you're going to be waiting, and people have finished davening. But in general, it's good to, like, if you have, let's say, a machzor with pirush, with art scroll, whatever it is. So that's what you can learn on, you know, while you're waiting. Just look ahead at the next filos. Read the commentary on the bottom. There's so much of the, you know, davening that we could learn. You know, so it's a good idea that's what one should do. So we have shachris and musaf. We go through the filos. The only day that we have an extra tefillah. Those kohanim who are here who have never duchen before, the duchen shachris, musaf, and ne'ilah. Shachris, musaf, and ne'ilah, not by mincha. remember my first year after Aliyah, I thought I was like four, but we're not doing mincha because it's there because of other days. But that's what we do as long as Ni'ilah is done in time. As long as Berachas Kohanim is done in time. What do you mean in time? So make Radin Shkia Shkia. But it's like if you're like going to do Berachas Kohanim before Shkia, then you're going to have this big break before, like, you know, you're going to be able to blow a shofar. And so some shuls flip it. Some shuls do like all of Chazaras HaShatz and then do all the Slichas, like from Ni'ilah, you know, afterwards. But Rav Shlomo Zalman has a heter that we rely on in our shul. Rav Shlomo Zalman says 13 minutes after Shkia. You have 13 minutes after Shkia that you could still do Berachas Kohanim up till 13 minutes after Shkia, and that's what some shuls rely on. And then Rosh Hashanah says you could blow shofar 21 minutes after Shkia. So if you have that, then you say like Avinu Malkeinu slow, you know, it kind of works out, and then, I mean, you could blow shofar even before the fast is over, because shofar is not a malacha. So again, this is not your issue, it's just the people who are running the minyanim have to, but no, that's it's very special to have duchening, to have Berachas Kohanim three times in one day, but that's what's done by Ni'ilah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes in Hilchas Ni'ilah. I quote this every year in Shul. Mishnah Berurah says you got to push, right? The tachlis of Aseres Yemei Tshuva is Yom Kippur. The tachlis of Yom Kippur is Ni'ilah. Shakol holech achrachisim v'im loach shaveimasai v'lochein afim chalash machbas atainis, even if you're weak. Yezor ki giver chalatzav l'spalav machshav ezaka, push it. This is it. Abolot armasayin, so you can push it, you can do it. And we try to push it on Ni'ilah, and in that way to be able to be zoche to a Shana Tova. We have all the different minhagim, right? Saying Hashem Hu Elokim, we blow, but that is Yom Kippur. There is again, we do Kiddush Levana on Motzah Yom Kippur, and also in this country, especially, wasn't as much in Chutz Laaretz. This country, the last halacha in Hilchos Yom Kippur, the Rama quotes, build your sukkah right on Motzah Yom Kippur. Interesting. The first halacha in Hilchos Sukkis, the Rama says, build your sukkah after Yom Kippur. Why does he have to say it twice? The last halacha of Hilchos Yom Kippur and the first halacha of Hilchos Sukkis. What is it? It's a din in Yom Kippur and it's a din in Sukkis. Right, you have to, but the Ramah says it. The Ramah says it twice. That's what we try to do, and it's a simcha. Ochlim smechem also Yom Kippur. And again, so after you eat, you can go around to see if anybody on the here needs a help building their sukkahs wherever you go. But again, that's in terms of minyanim of Yom Kippur. Any questions? I think we did most of it. Again, any questions that come up, feel free to let me know. But we shall be zochet to a Shana Tova Mesukah. It's not Rosh Hashanah yet, but we're already in the zone. Right, so we're in the Slicha zone. So already in the season, and by the Shem next week, we'll figure out when. Again, it's not going to be at this exact time. It might be during the break one day. We'll see. We'll figure out if we have a shiur on Yanim Abdal and Minim, and keeping one or two day yantifs for a Ben Chos Laaretz. Okay.